Today's daf is about Matir Daf Tzadi Test. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously L'zuchus Erefuah Shalema for Sarah Bas Chaya. L'zuchus for learning shir for Erefuah Shalema for Sarah Bas Chaya is undergoing surgery today. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Chesam Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Chesam Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about who's responsible if an animal dies when it's being sent to the Shoel or back from the Shoel. It's in transit from the Mashil to the Shoel or from the Shoel back to the Mashil. Has the Shoel yet assumed responsibility for it? So the Gemara is going to explain why it is that the Shoel is Chayiv when the Mashil sends it with his own Eved, because that's going to be one of the cases in the Mishnah, that the Mashil sends it with his own Eved with the approval of the Shoel, and the Shoel is already going to be Chayiv when it's in the hands of the Eved. So the Gemara is going to discuss, but I thought Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbo Dami, so isn't it like it's still in the hands of the Mashil? So we're going to discuss a little bit about the status of an Eved, and whether it's talking about an Eved Kanani or an Eved Ivri, and how even with an Eved Kanani you could somehow avoid the issue of Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbo in this case. Then the Gemara is going to talk about at what point the borrower is Kone, an object, both with regard to what we were talking about in our Mishnah about Chiyuv Onsin, but also with regard to the Mashil wanting to be chozer on the deal. If the Mashil says, I changed my mind, I don't want to lend it to you anymore. So at what point is it too late for him to say that, and it's already done, the shovel has already been Kone. The Gemara in Beis is going to talk about whether we can compare Hedyot to Hegdish, one's responsibilities toward Hedyot and toward Hegdish when it comes to paying back what you stole from them, and when it comes to paying for Hana'a that they don't, that they're not aware of. Meaning if a person squats in another person's property versus a person unwittingly using something of Hegdish and getting Hana'a, squatting in a house that belongs to Hegdish, are there any differences in terms of your chiyuvim toward Hedyot, toward a regular person, versus your chiyuvim toward Hegdish? And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to bring in what seems like an unrelated topic. If a person destroys a barrel of wine, and that barrel of wine is worth X amount of money on the Yom HaDeshuka, on the day that people sell wine in the market, but it's worth a little less money on other days, what do you have to pay back? Do you have to pay back what it's worth on the Yom HaDeshuka, or do you have to pay back what it's worth on other days that are not the Yom HaDeshuka? So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Chesam Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shalos Saparo v'shalchalo biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho, o biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho shal shoel. A person borrows a cow, and it is delivered through the son, the Eved, or the Shliach of the Mashil, or the son, the Eved, or the Shliach of the Shoel. Either way, it doesn't matter. Umesa, if it dies in transit, Pater. The halacha is the Shoel is going to be Pater. He has not yet taken responsibility of it because he has not yet taken delivery of it. But Amar lo haShoel, but if the Shoel says, Shilchali biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi, I want you to send it to me with through my son, through my Eved, or through my Shliach. Oh, biyad bincha, biyad avdicha, biyad shluchacha. Or he expressly says, I want you to send it through your Eved, your son, your Shliach. Osha Amar lo haMashal, or even if the Mashal is the one that initiated the conversation. The Mashal said, Hareini mishalchalach, biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi. I'm going to send it to you through with my son, with my Eved, with my Shliach, O biyad bincha, biyad avdicha, biyad shluchacha, or with your son, your Eved, your Shliach. Va'amr le ha-shoel shalach, and the Shoel says, go ahead, do it, as long as you get the approval of the Shoel, v'shilcha, umesa, and you send it through those people, and it dies along the way, chayiv. The Shoel is going to be chayiv for the onus of the animal's death, because he's already taken responsibility for it once he said that he's comfortable with you sending it through these people. V'chein b'shoel shemachzira. And the same applies in the reverse when he returns it. If the Shoel sends it, b'no, avdo, or shlucho, of either one of them, so it doesn't leave the reshus of the Shoel unless the Mashil had told him, I want you to send it back in that way. But until that point, if the Mashil did not say that, then it remains in the reshus of the Shoel, and anything that happens to it remains the responsibility of the Shoel. Rashi deals with what seems like an obvious problem in the Mishnah. If you pay careful attention, the first part of the Mishnah was that the Mashil still retains responsibility because the Shoel never said to send it. But one of the cases was that you're sending it beyond shlucho shel shoel, in the hands of, you know, one thing, in Eved, that's an ongoing relationship. That's something that's, or his son. His son is his son. He may not have spoken to his father, and he may just be there, and you're just giving it to his son. But beyond shlucho shel shoel, how could you have a case where the shoel didn't ask you to give it to the shliach, and yet the person is still the shliach of the shoel? Well, what makes him the shliach of the shoel if he didn't ask you to give it to him? So Rashi points out that this is dealt with in the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Kuf Dalid, and it is machlokes Rabba and Rav Chista over there. Rav Chista's mitaritz lahi shlucho de shol de masnisin v'schiro lekito shadar bebeso, that it's a case where it's a person who is constantly used as the shliach of the shoel. He was never appointed for this particular case. The shoel never asked him, I want you to go pick up this thing that I want to borrow, this cow that I want to borrow. There are no aidim that he's his shliach, but he's a kind of person who's shchira v'lekito. He works for him all the time. He always does odd jobs for the shoel. But if there were aidim that he in fact is his shliach, well then certainly the shoel is chayiv in the onsim. The shoel has taken upon himself that responsibility. But Rabba says no, even if he made him a shliach, he made him a shliach to go and bring the animal, but not to be mischayev b'onsin. Meaning, all he said to him when he made him a shliach is that this is a trustworthy person. So if you want to know, can you trust this guy to bring me the para? Yes, you can trust this guy to bring me the para. But not that when you give it to this guy, I'm accepting responsibility. No, I'm only going to accept responsibility when I take delivery of the item. So that's how Rabba understands that it could be that he never actually takes responsibility. Now the Rishonim raised the question, if the shoel wants we said so even though the shoel wants them to bring him the para, he didn't appoint him as the shliach, so how could he be chayiv by what mechanism does he become chayiv? Does the shoel become chayiv just because the shoel is megaladas? Yeah, I'm okay with you giving it to these people. Where's the kinyan? Where in what way does he become chayiv? What's the mechanism that's mechayiv the shoel and onsim from the moment you give it to these people? So the Shittim Kvetzes quotes from the Ravid that we're talking with a case where the Mashal says to them, Zechu b'parazu l'ploni l'sha'ila, that I want you to be kone this para for the purpose of she'ela, because that's in fact what this fellow wants. That's in fact what the shoel wants. And so as soon as they're mekabelit, they become the shluchei ha-shoel, and they are kone it on behalf of the shoel. Aye, we only say zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, but not chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Isn't this a chov on the shoel? Because he's now being chayiv in onsim, and he's not here to do it. Someone else is doing it on his behalf. Yeah, but that's only when it's shalom idaito. That's only the idea that zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav and ein chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav is only when you're working outside of the das of the person. He's not aware of what you're doing. But when he's fully aware of what you're doing and he approved of it, so then you're allowed to be zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, even if there's going to be a chov in the sense that he's going to be chayiv and onsim. That's how the Ravid understands. The Ran and the Nemukah Yosef understand a little differently, that the chiv of the shoel is not midin shlichus, rather it's midin arev. That since he's saying, I want you to take the cow out of your rishus and send it biyad a shliach, I am taking responsibility midin arev, that any time you are motzi mamon from your rishus based on my request, I become chayiv midin arev. That's a sugya meseches kiddushin daf zayin amud aleph. So two models of understanding our Mishnah. Why is it that the shoel takes responsibility when you give it to any of these people, any of these third parties, either because they become the shaliach of the shoel, or because the shoel takes on the status of an arev? And the Sivas points out in Simon Shin Mem in Sivkat Nir Aleph that the nafkamina between the Ravid and the Ran is that according to the Ravid, the mashil can't be chozebo once he gives it to the shliach. He already made a kinyan as a shliach of the shoel. So and also a nafkamina would be that the shliach would have to be a bar shlichus. It can't be a cherishot of a katan or a guy who's not subject to shlichus, right? It has to be a bar shlichus if he's working as a shliach of the shoel. But according to the Ran, if the mechayiv is midin arvus, it's that I'm telling you get rid of this, and because you're getting rid of it based on my word, I am taking responsibility as an arev, as like a cosigner. So since since he didn't become the Shoel yet Bepoel, he just became an Arev, the Mashal could still be Chozerbo, because the She'ela didn't begin yet, the borrowing didn't begin yet. And also, you don't need a Bar Shlichus, it could be a Cheresh HaTavukatan or a Guy or anybody else, because it's just about the fact that you're getting it, that the Mashal is being Motziit from his Rishus. It's not about the beginning of the She'ela or any Shaliach being appointed. So that's the Nafkamina between those two ways of understanding the Mishnah. Says the Gemara now, Biyad Avdo Chayiv, Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbo. So we said if you send it Biyad Avdo, you're going to be Chayiv, but why should you be Chayiv when you send it Biyad Avdo? Yad Eved is Kiyad Rabbo, as Rashi points out on the top. Biyad Avdo Chayiv Bitmiya, Katani Amalei Ashol, Sholchul Biyad Avdocha, Vesholchul Chayiv Ashol Bonsel Bederach, doesn't it need to leave the Rishus of the Mashil in order for the Shoel to become Chayiv? But if the Mashil is sending it with his own Eved, that's like bringing it in his own hand. So it's still in the hands of the Mashil. Yad Eved is completely Kiyad Rabbo. So two ways of understanding our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel be'Eved Ivri. Delo kani legufe. Shmuel says, Enochinami, if it were an Eved Kanani, you're right, the Mashil would still retain responsibility. The Shoel does not take upon himself any responsibility yet. But over here we're talking about an Eved Ivri. You don't really own the guf of an Eved Ivri. You own the service, the work that the Eved Ivri is going to do. But you don't own his body. We don't say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbo by an Eved Ivri. Rav amar afilu tem of Eved Kanani. But Rav says we could even be talking about where it's an Eved Kanani. Nasa ka umrlo hikisha b'makal v'hitavo, that we treat this like a case where the Shoel says to the Mashil, you know what, don't send it with anyone, just hit it with a stick and send it along its way on its own toward my Rishus, and that will be good enough. I mean, you pretend the Eved's not even there. If the Shoel says that to the Mashil, that I want you to just hit it with a stick and send it toward me, so that's good enough. That's enough for the Shoel to take responsibility already at that point in time. So you could ignore the presence of the Eved. Pretend that it was just hit with the stick and the Shoel is already taking responsibility. So it could even be talking about an Eved Kanani. Now the exact geder of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbo, you know, this is closely associated probably with the idea of Kol Mashakana Eved Kona Rabbo, whatever an Eved is Kona, the master is Kona as well. The Ktsos in Siman Tov Chav Dalet explains that idea of Kol Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbo, that, you know, there are two ways you can understand it. You can understand it that the Eved is literally an extension of the master. So when the Eved is Kona, there is no kinyan for the Eved. It's purely a kinyan for the master. It's a one-step process. The process is the Eved picks it up, that's the same as the master picking it up. Or you could understand, and this is what the Ktsos prefers, that the Eved is Kona Liatzmo, but immediately when he's Kona Liatzmo, it becomes Kona Lirabo. It's a two-step process, that he is able to make a Kinyan, but as soon as that Kinyan happens, Mimela then transfers over to the Rabo. It starts this process that you cannot stop, where it transfers over to the Master. So the Dvar HaMelech raises the question on the Ktsos. So what's the Gemara's Kasha over here? How can the Eved be Zoch and the para for the Shoel? According to the Ktsos, no problem. The Eved has the ability to make a Kinyan on his own. So Enochinami, when he zochas something for himself, because he wants it for himself, that immediately kicks in, that it goes Lebailov, that it goes to his own master, to his own owner. But why can't he be, if he's not being Kona for himself, and he does that, have the ability to make a Kinyan, so why can't he be Kona it for the Shoel, according to the Ktsos? So he suggests that there are two different Gedarim over here, there are two different issues. There's Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo, that when the Eved comes to acquire something from someone else, and there's no chisaron over there, so that's what the Ktsos holds, that the Eved is Kona for himself, and the Rav is then Kona from him. But then there's Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, when the Adon wants to get rid of something and give it to the Eved, it's impossible, because Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo is Mechadesh, that's not called leaving the Rishus of the Rav, meaning it's one thing for bringing something into the Rishus of the Rav, that's where we say Kol Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo, that's where the Ktsos says two-step process, the Eved has the ability to be Kona for himself, and then it transfers. But when we talk about being motzi from the Rishus HaRav, when we talk about getting rid of it from the master's possession, well, that the Eved is unable to do. That's Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo. That's considered that the Eved is simply an extension of the master when it comes to that. Okay, so says the Gemara, Meisvein. So we had two ways of understanding the case of the Eved in our Mishnah. Either was a case of an Eved Ivri, and that's why he's able to be Kona on behalf of the Shoel, or it's an Eved Kanani, but we pretend he's not there. It's as if he said, hit it with a stick and send it toward my property. Meisvein, HaShoel, Parav Shulchalo Biyad Mano. Biyad Shlucho, Chayiv. Biyad Avdo, Potter. We have a brisa that says very different than our Mishnah. It says that if you send it in the hands of the Mashil Shliach or Ben, then Enochinami the Shoel takes responsibility, the Shoel is going to be Chayiv. But if you send it in the hands of the Mashil's Eved, then he's going to be Potter. Well, Bishlam, so that's a direct steer. Our Mishnah said you're Chayiv no matter what. So Bishlam, Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we understand very well. Masnis and Bevet Ivri, brisa, Bevet Kanani. That it depends. The Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. So if you give it to an Eved Ivri, and a Chinami, the Eved Ivri has the ability to be Kona for the Shoel, and therefore the Shoel becomes Chayiv and Onsim the second you give it to the Eved. But the Brisa is talking about an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani does not have the ability to be Kona for the Shoel, so it remains the responsibility of the Mashiel. And that works out very nicely. Elo l'Rav Kasha. But according to Rav, this is difficult, because the Rav said that even our Mishnah is talking about an Eved Kanani. You can't touch up the Mishnah as talking about an Eved Ivri. And we say, oh yeah, when you give it to the Eved Kanani, it's assumed that it's like you said, it's ka'omer, ke'omer, like you said, go and hit it and let it walk toward my property. So why is the Bryce any different? Samalach Rav, Rav would say, you know what, you have to adjust my answer. It's not nase ke'omer. It's not that we make it like he said, go hit it and we'll come to me. No, I'm Rav, lo teima nase ke'omer le, ele'ima bi amar le, hikisha b'makal v'yitavo. The Mishnah is only true if he in fact said to him, hit it with a stick and let it come to me. The Eved just happens to be there. The Eved's beside the point. He's really irrelevant to the whole picture. He just happens to be there. The only way that the Shoel's taking responsibility when the Eved is in the picture, when the Eved of the Mashil is the one that's bringing it, is where the Shoel was not even gores the Eved. The Shoel said, hit the animal and send it to me. It's not that we pretend that that's what happened. That's what actually has happened. So it says Mar Itmar, because we have a memra as follows. Hashileni parascha, I want you to lend me your cow. Varmalei biyad mi. So he says, okay, who do you want me to send it with? Varmalei hakisha b'makal v'tavo. Just hit it with a stick and let it come to me. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Rav, kiven sheyotzes mirushos mashil umesa chayiv. Once it leaves the rishus of the mashil and it dies, the shoel is already going to be chayiv because he had told him, hit it with a stick and let it come to me. So neima mesayelei. Maybe this is a raya to Rav. Hashileni parascha varmalei biyad me. It's unclear to me why the Gemara has to repeat that whole thing. We can just say, yeah, what we just said is Masayele. What we just said is a Raya to Rav. So, Amravashi, so meaning, and therefore, maybe that's a strong Raya that Rav is correct. Amravashi, Yachamay Eskinan, Gonshayes a Chatzeru Shel Shoel, Lifnim Me Chatzeru Shel Mashil. No, maybe that only works. The idea of Hikisha B'makal, that the Shoel says, hit it with a stick, and it will walk on its own. To me, maybe that only works if the chatzar of the shoel is surrounded completely by the chatzar of the mashil. So the mashil surrounds the shoel on all four sides. When the mashil is sending it, it has no choice to go anywhere but to the chatzar of the shoel. I mean, the second it leaves the mashil's rishus, it's automatically going to be in the shoel's rishus. That's when the shoel is saying, I'm taking responsibility, even if you just hit it and it walks toward my property, because there's nowhere else for it to go. Because when you send it, that's where it's going. So that's when he's taking responsibility. But maybe in a chinami, it's not a raya to Rav, because Rav wanted to say that even if there's other properties in between, there's a rishus harabim in between, that I just told you that you could hit it toward my property and I'm taking responsibility. So maybe that's an extra chiddush that you don't know for sure it's going to go there. So that's something beyond what this Memra is telling us. Iachi Maila Memra. Well, if that's the whole case of this Memra and this Braisa, that there's no other property in between, so of course the Shoel is taking responsibility when he says, go and hit it and let it walk toward my Rishus. There's nowhere else for it to go. So it says, Marlo Tzricha Di'ika Gazyasa. No, maybe there are little corners somewhere where it could go and it could hide out. And therefore, Mal Detema L'Samcha Daite, one might have assumed that there's no smichas das of the shovel. The shovel is not comfortable enough to really take full responsibility, because Dilma Kaima Hasam V'lo Asya, so Azla Lade, because maybe it's going to stay in one of those little corners and one of those nooks and crannies in the property, and he's not actually going to come to me. That's why we need to be told now that the shovel does have smichas das. So there is somewhat of a chiddush, even if the case is that there's no other property in between, because there may be these little hiding places. Where are these little hiding places? Whose rishus are they in? What kind of? So Rashi says that these are zizin v'uktsin in the chatzer hamashil, that they're hiding places in the mashil's property. The Ritva says, well, if the para went into those places, so then it's pashut that the shovel is not yet chayiv for it, because it didn't leave the Rishos HaMashal yet. Meaning, even when the shovel says, hit it with a stick and let it go, it has to actually go. If it never left the Rishos HaMashal, there's no way the shovel is going to be chayiv. Not every time the mashal hits the animal is the shovel automatically going to be chayiv. It has to actually leave. It has to. So the Ritva doesn't like Rashi's interpretation. And he says, so the Ritva says in the name of his Rebbeim that the Zavios are between the two Chatzeros and they belong to other parties. They belong to other people. So that's what the concern is, that maybe they'll sneak into these little corners, these little crevices that belong to other people, and it's not going to go straight into my property. Now, in the end of the day, the maskan of the Gemara is that there's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What's our Mishnah talking about? When our Mishnah says that the mashal sends it biyad avdo, that the as long as it's with the shoel's permission, the shoel is going to be chayiv, is that talking about an Eved Ivri, or is it talking about an Eved Kenani, where you told him, where you also happened to tell him, he kisha b'makal? There is a machlokas rishonim. Yeah, they're arguing in how to interpret the Mishnah. Are they also arguing in the halacha? Meaning, when Rav interprets the Mishnah as an Eved Kenani, he kisha b'makal, and Shmuel says, no, it's got to be talking about an Eved Ivri. Does Shmuel not agree that if it were an Eved Kenani and you said to him, he kisha b'makal, and let it come to me, does Shmuel not agree to that halacha that the shovel is then taking responsibility? Or are they simply arguing about, is that likely what the Mishnah means? But la halacha, they maybe agree. That is a machlokas rishonim, whether they agree with each other or not. The Rabbeinu Chananel, quoted in Tosdi Bermaskal Amar, says that Shmuel disagrees with Rav. And the raya is from the fact that the Gemara wanted to prove Rav correct from the Braisa of Hashileni Parascha, and it's Docha, the raya, that no, it's surrounded on all four sides. So the Gemara wanted it to the Gemara. Why did the Gemara give a dochek teretz? Why not just say, yeah, it's a raya to Rav? What would be so terrible if we had a raya to Rav? Why do we have to give a dochek teretz? Because a raya to Rav is a raya against Shmuel, and we need Shmuel to be able to defend himself. Meaning, if everyone agreed to this halacha, so good. So let the raya stand. It's a good enough raya. You're going to come up with a hechitimtza where it's surrounded on all four sides, but there are also these nooks and crannies that it can get into. Why make such a crazy ukimta? The pashas is not like that. But it must be that Shmuel disagrees with this whole din. So if Shmuel disagrees with the whole din, you need Shmuel to be, you need everything to fit with Shmuel as well. That's how the Rabbeinu Chananel says. The Rashi disagrees. He says, we don't find anywhere that Shmuel actually disagrees with the halacha. Shmuel doesn't think it's likely that's what the Mishnah was talking about, because if the case of the Mishnah was where the guy said, go hit it with a stick and I'll take responsibility for it, then there's no need for an Eved to even appear in the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah sounded like it had something to do with the fact that he was giving it to his Eved, but really the Eved's totally irrelevant the way Rav understands the Mishnah. So Shmuel disagrees in Pshat in the Mishnah, that's very unlikely that that's Pshat in the Mishnah, but Shmuel's not disagreeing lahalacha. Okay, new sugya. Amar Rav Huna, hashol kardo mechaveru. A person borrows an axe from his friend. Bakabo kano. As soon as he uses it, as soon as the borrower uses it, he has now been kona it. Lo bakabo lo kano. But before he has used it, he's not been kona it. Now, what do we mean bin kona it? For what purpose? Lamai. With regard to which halacha are we talking about being kona? If it's about at what point the shoel is responsible for any onus that happens to it, Maishna Parah de Mishas She'ela, why would it be any different from the Parah that as soon as you take possession, you're Chayiv? Why would you have to use the axe? L'chara, as soon as you borrow it and you take possession of the axe, you're going to be Chayiv in any onus that's going to happen to it. So that can't be what we're talking about. No, Ela L'chazara. What we're talking about is, when can the Mashil still back out of the agreement and say, you know what, I still need my axe, I didn't mean to lend it to you, I want it back. Bakabo, if the Shoel has already started working with it, lo matzi hader bei mashil, then the mashil cannot back out of the agreement. Lo bakabo, matzi mashil hader bei. But if the Shoel has not yet begun to use it, then the mashil can still back out of the agreement. The Ritva says, what sort of kinyan is that? Using an axe to chop wood, is that's a kinyan? The second you pick it up, you made a kinyan. So why is it using it to chop wood? We don't find that anywhere, that such an act serves as a kinyan. So the Ritva says, you're right, this must be a takanas chachamim. This is a tikkun ha'olam issue. Now, we don't want a person to be mashal or maskir his kelim to other people, and then after the guy starts doing the job, and he's mamsh, right in the middle of the job, and now you're going to back out and you're going to make him give it back to you. It's not fair to the person. He didn't borrow from other people, he didn't rent from other people, he probably passed up other opportunities because he needs to get this job done. And right in the middle of the job, you're gonna leave him with no kelim with which to do the job. Tikkun ha'olam. It has to be that this is a takana derabanan. Upliga de Rabbi Ami. And this is against Rabbi Ami's shita. To Amar Rabbi Ami, Hamashil kardom shel hegdish ma'al lefitovas hana'a shabo v'chaveru mutu levakeh bo lechadchila. Let's say you are the gizbar. You are the treasurer of hegdish, so the items of hegdish belong in your basic possession. But instead of keeping it, you lend out an item that belongs to hegdish. B'shogeg, you didn't realize, you thought it was your own axe, and you lend it out to somebody else. So right then, you have been ma'al, you have committed me'ila, based on the tovas hana'a shabo, based on the fact that the guy who you lent it to has a sense of gratitude for the fact that you had lent him this item. So that itself is a violation of mi'ila, and now, because mi'ila has already been violated, this fellow that you lent it to is allowed to use it, even l'chadchila, because it was already yatzal l'chulin, based on your commission of mi'ila. V'ilo kano amay ma'al. Now, if this was not already a kinyan, the second you lent it to him, why would he be Moel? So don't you see that there's a kinyan right away as soon as you give it to the Shoel, even before the Shoel has begun to use it? So you see that Rabbi Ami is against this statement of Rav Huna, that Rav Huna wanted to say that a Shoel is only Kona something with regard to who can be when the Mashal can be Chozer, the Shoel is only Kona when he starts using it. See, Rabbi Ami says, no, as soon as he takes possession, it's already a violation of Mi'ila. Because Ilo Kono, I'm my Ma'al, I'm my Chaver, I'm Mutav L'Akeba, L'Chadchila. Why would it be a violation of Mi'ila already? And why would the Shoel be allowed to now go ahead and use it? If he hasn't yet used it, according to what Rav Huna said, if he hasn't yet used it, you could undo the whole deal. Nahadre v'lo likne v'lo limol. Go back on the deal. Don't let the guy be kone it, and then there won't be a violation of mi'ila. So the whole thing could be undone. So you see clearly that Rabbi Ami disagrees. That Rabbi Ami holds that as soon as he takes possession of it, mi'ila has already, the kinyan has already been made. You cannot be chozer anymore. And also pligat Rabbi Lazar. It's also against Rabbi Lazar. Da'am Rabbi Lazar. Kederuch shatiknu mashicha belekuchos. That just like Mashicha is what makes the kinyan for lekuchos, for buying something, kick in, and that's the absolute final kinyan. The same is true by Shomrim. You want to borrow something, you do a kinyan Mashicha, that makes the borrowing real. That's what finalizes the transaction. You don't have to wait till you actually use it. It finalizes the transaction as soon as you do a Mashicha. Now, when we say l'shomrim, that it works for Shomrim, that you're not able to be chozer on the Shmira, what type of Shomrim are we talking about? So Tosos and Dibur Maskel Kach and Tosos elsewhere in Shas say that it's Dafka Tomer Shoel and a Socher, that as soon as he does a Kinyan Mashicha, the Bailim can't be chozer. And that's what the Ran and Mukhe Yosef quote from Yesh Mefarshim as well. Meaning Dafka by Shoel and a Socher, where they're going to use the Kli, so it's like a sale for a day. So I mean, it's like you sold it to him for that day. So Mashicha is going to work because you are being Kona, the item itself. But a Shomer Sachar Shomer Chinam, where they have no Zechiyah in the Guf HaKli at all, they can't use it, it's not for that, they're just there to protect it, so then Mashiach is not going to be Kona, because how could the Bailim be Chayiv on the Sachar Shal Shomer, Mashiach Shal Shomer, just because the Shomer was Moshech the Kli, that doesn't generate a Chiyah for the Bailim, because the Shomer has no benefit from it. So that's how Tosfos understands that you have to clearly, fundamentally understand two types of shomrim. There are four types in general, but there are two general categories. Those shomrim that can use the item, they're like lekuchos liyom, and those shomrim that cannot use the item. Not all the Rishonim agree to that. The Rashba quotes from a Ravid that even other shomrim, you can't be choser, and the Bailim could say, you've accepted responsibility at this point in time, and that it's only the shomer that's not able to be choser, but the Bailim is always able to be choser even after the Mashiach. And the Ran also disagrees, but anyway, that's the sheet of Tosos. Tanya Namiach, you have Brisa says just like this: Kishem shetiknu Mashiach b'lekuchos, kach tiknu Mashiach b'shomrim. Just like Mashiach works for lekuchos, Mashiach also works for shomrim. Kishem shekarka niknes b'kesef shtar b'chazaka, and just like karka can be acquired through three modes of kinyan, kesef shtar and chazaka. So too when you rent things, and we assume, Rashi points out, the assumption at this point in the Gemara is when we say schirus, we mean renting animals, renting kalim. So too schirus, niknu b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. You want to rent an animal, you want to rent kalim, a valid form of kinyan is kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. So says Gemara, schirus mayavidite. Schirus of metaltalin is kesef b'shtar b'chazaka? Metaltalin, you do hagbah, you do mashicha. These aren't forms of kinyan that you would normally do for schirus. Why are we mentioning schirus with kesef shtar chazaka? Some Rav Chista schirus karka. Now, what we mean to say is schirus karka. We don't mean to say schirus of metaltan. In a chinami, schirus of metaltan cannot be done with kesef shtar or chazaka. Amar Shmuel, Haiman de gazel chavitza de tamri mechavero. Let's say you have a person that steals a bundle of dates from his friend. V'isba chamishim tamri, and there are 50 dates. Agav Adadi, I'm sorry, the 50 dates in the bundle. Agav Adadi Mizdavnun Benun. If you sell them as a bundle of 50 dates, you would, Benun Nechichada, you would sell them for $49, let's say. It's normally a dollar a date, but if you're selling a bundle of 50, you'd sell them for $49. Chada Chada Mizdavnun Benun. So if they were to be sold one by one, it's a dollar each, and the guy would therefore get $50 for it. So what do you pay? Do you pay what they sell for as a group, or do you pay what they would sell for individually? So lahedyot mishalim chamishim nechichada. If you had stolen them from a regular person, not from Hegdish, then you would have to only pay 49. But lahegdish mishalim chamishim vichum shayhu. But if you had stolen them from Hegdish, then you'd have to pay the full 50. Plus an extra chomesh, because that's what happens when you steal from Egdish, that you have to be most of chomesh. Masha'in kin b'mazik, now that chomesh that you have to pay is only true when you steal from Egdish, as opposed to by mazik, the lo mishalim chumsha. As opposed to if you're mazik Egdish, so you didn't get any benefit from it, you didn't take it for yourself, you just went and you destroyed these dates of Egdish, then you don't have to pay the extra chomesh. To Amar Mar, ish ki yochal kodesh, Prat, the Mazik says Ish ki yochal kodesh, so the implication is yochal, that you get hana'ah from it. As opposed to, if you're only Mazik kodesh, then you don't have to pay the extra chomesh. But you still, what we do see over here is that there is a difference between when you steal from Hedyot versus when you steal from Hegdish, in that when you steal from Hedyot, you're going to pay the cheaper price. When you steal from Hegdish, you're going to pay the more expensive price. The Rishonim asked the question, how do we know that you don't pay the extra chomesh when you're Mazik Hegdish from this pasuk Ish ki yochal kodesh? The Rishonim point out, if you look up the pasuk, it's not talking about Hegdish, it's talking about truma. So how do we learn any halacha from Hegdish, a pasuk that's talking about truma? So that's what all the Rishonim are bothered by. The Balei Tosfos and all the other Rishonim are bothered by this question. So they suggest that it's a gzeru shava chet chet mitruma, that we do have a gzeru shava that the Gemara uses by hegdish. It says nefesh kisimul mal v'chata b'shkaga, and by truma v'losisu olav chet barimcha mischelbo. So we make such a gzeru shava from truma, and the Rashash just points out that l'chora you don't need a rishonim to point this out, because it's preferish in the Gemara in Mi'ila Daf Yutes, where the Gemara says aksha rachmana l'truma matruma ki yochol prat l'mazik abehegdish nami kol devar achila ki mazik le'pater. Anything that you could have gotten hanah from, but you didn't, you were just mazik it, so then you're going to be pater. So it's a preferish in Gemara, really unclear why the Rishonim felt the need to take credit for it. It's a preferish in Gemara, but anyway, there's a difference between being mazik hegdish, being mazik hadyot. So maskar b'barabaye lehadyot amay mishalim chamishim l'chichada. Why is it when you pay to a hedyot, you only have to pay 49? Why can't the guy that you stole from say, you know, I was planning on selling it one by one, so you should really pay me 50? So I'm Ravuna Breit. And Rav Yeshua, Shaman Beisa, Ba'os Hasada. It's like when an animal damages a field, one row in a field. So we said in Bava Kama, how do you assess it? You don't just assess that row, you assess the whole field and how much less it's worth without that row. You have to look, big picture. That's the way we do assessments when you're paying back Hegdish. The Poskim discuss whether this is, all the modern day Poskim discuss, whether this may be a makar in the famous Shaila of you steal one earring. Or one shoe, or you lost, let's say, you were poshea, you were a shomer on a pair of earrings, and you were poshea on one earring. So a pair of earrings, let's say, cost $100. But the one earring, if you were to try to sell the one earring, it would be less than $50. It's not worth $50. Now, if you want to replace that one earring, and let's say the one that's left is useless on its own, so you want to replace the one that you lost to get a new one made up that's going to match the original, it may cost $70. So what do you pay? Do you pay 50 because that's half of the pair? Do you pay 30 because that's what one earring is worth? Do you pay 70? So maybe that's this sugya is a marimakom in that. What do you how big a picture do you look at? It's part of a larger unit, it's worth X amount, but as a single unit it may be worth more or less than that amount. It may also relate to what the chiyuv of mazik is. When we have a chiyuv tashlumin of mazik, so there's a major chakira. Is the chiyuv a chiyuv of compensation, or is it a chiv of restoration? When you pay back, you have to compensate because you cost him X amount of money, or he doesn't have the item, so you got to give him back the item. LMI, you don't have the item either, so you can't give him back the item, so you pay instead. But it's really all about restoring the original item. That may be enough kamin over here. Compensation, you would look at whatever its value was, whereas restoration, you would have to, whatever it takes to get him back the original item that he lost. Okay, Tanan, lememer the Sava Shmuel, din hediot lav kedin gavodami. But does this mean to say that I'm sorry, shaman so tanan, the tanan is part of the last phrase, the memor to serve Shmuel din hediot lav kedin gavodami? Does Shmuel really hold that you treat hediot differently than hegdish? Vatnan, we have a mishnah as follows: not 11 or korah me hegdish lo ma'al. If the gizbar takes an even or a korah from hegdish, he has not yet violated meila nasan lechaveru. But if he gives it to someone else, who ma'al the chaver lo ma'al? The gizbar is violated me'ila by transferring it out of the rishus of Hegdish, but the chaver that he gave it to is not ma'al. But banam betoch beisov, the gizbar builds it into his house, lo ma'al at shiyadar tachta b'shavapruta. He doesn't violate me'ila until he gets a shavapruta of benefit from living in it. So that's when it comes to dealing with a Hegdish item. V'yasav rabbi avo kamed rabbi yochanan v'yasav kam rishmei d'shmol zosomeres, and we see from there hadabr chatzar chaver shlomi daito sarach la'alos l'schar, that we do pay attention to the value of living in someone else's property. Because here you have the gizbar living under the beams of Hegdish, and we say that's Me'ila when he benefits from that. So too by a Hedyot, when you live in someone else's property. So you see that we treat Hegdish and Hedyot the same. So says Mara Hadar Shmuel Me'ahi. Shmuel must have changed his mind about that squatting halacha that we just said. How do you know he changed his mind from that one? Maybe he changed his mind from the halacha about paying back for the 50 or the 49. So lo me There's no such thing as benefiting from Hegdish Shalomidas. Shalomi, you know, you squat in someone's property, the guy has no idea that you're there. You use the Ribbono Shalom stuff, he knows that you're using it. So that's why we're confident that that's what he was chosen from. A porter breaks someone's barrel of wine. On the Yom HaDeshuk, that barrel of wine is worth 5. On other days, that barrel of wine is worth 4. So how much do you have to pay back? This also gets very much involved in the, is it compensation or restoration? Now, it's way past the Yom HaDeshuk. Can I just give him a barrel of wine back? The barrel of wine now is going to be worth less than the barrel of wine was when I broke it. Can I just give him back about, if I have to restore what I took, but if it's compensation, no, I broke something worth 5, so I have to pay for 5. So let's see. Ahajulei b'yom d'shuka, majulei chavisa d'chamra. If you're going to give something back on the Yom HaDeshuka or right before the Yom HaDeshuka, good, then you can give him a barrel of wine back because it's not going to be costing him any money. It's still going to be worth 5 to him. But b'shar yomei, if you're going to give it back on other days after the Yom HaShuk, mahajulei hey, then you cannot just restore the item. You need to compensate him for what you cost him. V'lo amr el d'lahav lechamra lezvune. That's only if the guy didn't have any wine to sell on the Yom HaShuk because you had broken his only barrel of wine that he would have sold on the Yom HaShuk, and therefore he actually lost 5. Aval havli chamr lezvune, but if he had other wine that he could have sold and he didn't, ibayle lezvune, then he should have sold that wine, and therefore you would only have to pay him back a barrel of wine. Even if you're going to pay him back the 5, you could deduct whatever it would cost him to advertise and to open up a hole in the barrel and to do whatever the cost of selling the wine on the Yom HaDeshuk is. You could deduct that because that's an expense he didn't have to incur because he never actually had to sell the wine. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll do Daf Kuf starting from the Mishnah. Oh, yeah.